Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, November 14th, 2016. I am Jason Powell on the site today. Results of the Evolve pay-per-view events, as well as the news of Joey Styles no longer being with Evolve and other independent promotions stepping up and severing ties with Joey Styles. And we also have my in-person report on the Heavy on Wrestling show that was headlined by Cody Rhodes and Colt Cabana. And tonight we get back on track with our usual live coverage approach now that WWE Raw is back in the United States and airing live. So join me for pre-show notes at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern, and live coverage of WWE Raw at 7 Central, 8 Eastern. Non-members, coming up after the break, I'm going to be discussing a very busy week in pro wrestling, Cody Rhodes, and we'll look ahead to tonight's WWE Raw. Well, it is another huge week in pro wrestling with the Survivor Series on Sunday, plus NXT coming up in Toronto, the same venue on Saturday, Ring of Honor in the UK, and we have NXT live events in New York and Boston this week as well. We're going to have you covered as far as live coverage is concerned with Survivor Series on Sunday. I'll be handling that. Zach Zimmerman's live review of NXT will be available on Saturday night during the show. And Zach will also be in attendance for the NXT event in Boston. Thus, we are looking for correspondents for the NXT in NYC show, as well as those Ring of Honor events in the UK. And you can help us out, as always, by simply dropping me a line at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just be sure to spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com, or hit me up via Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. I had a really good time at the Heavy on Wrestling show on Saturday night in St. Paul, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it just in terms of who beat who and that sort of thing, because, again, there is a report available on the main page. The main event was Cody Rhodes and Colt Cabana, and it was a lot of fun. But the thing that I want to spend a little bit of time addressing is how well Cody Rhodes came off before the show. Now, most of the wrestlers on the show were working their gimmick tables, but I thought Cody was just a master at this. I was kind of standing by, just waiting to say a quick hello, and didn't want to interrupt him because he had actual paying customers there, so I wanted to let them go through, and then I also got a chance to see Baron Von Raschke, who was at the show at his own table, walk over and spend a moment with Cody, and they posed for a picture, and that was kind of cool. But once the fans and then Baron Von Raschke made their way, I did just say a quick hello. But you know, the thing that stood out to me was that he wore a nice suit, he was standing, he was all smiles, and he really engaged every fan that approached him in the friendliest possible manner. And I'm not taking a shot at anyone else who worked the gimmick tables on this show, because I honestly didn't get to see as much of them as I did Cody, just because I was kind of standing there waiting. But I've been around enough merch tables over the years to know that Cody was better at this, and just better in this setting than I can recall most wrestlers. I have seen Colt Cabana over the years be very good with his fans too, so I want to mention that. But I guess the thing that impressed me the most about Cody is that he just seemed like he was genuinely happy to be there, and he was enjoying the time that he was interacting with the fans. And for all I know, it's all an act, and he just wished he could have been anywhere else in the world. I don't think that's the case, but it doesn't matter, because the point is that he made every fan he spoke with feel very important and greeted them with a smile and sent them on their way, I think, with a very positive experience. And now, for those of you who don't have, maybe you just haven't been to a lot of shows, or you just don't spend a lot of time around merch tables, this isn't always the norm. Now, some guys and gals handle it better than others, clearly, but I think Cody could hold a damn clinic on this. There are a few things in life, I think, that are more disappointing when it comes to the entertainment world than meeting someone whose work you really admire, and then they just treat you like another face in the crowd. You know, maybe you waited in line for an autograph signing, or even if it was just a kind of a chance encounter. It's disappointing when you meet somebody who's just going through the motions. And you know, now I'll feel terrible if I find out that I just happened to be there for a good stretch and Cody was an ass the rest of the time, but I really doubt that's the case. But I mean, I really think this should be a lesson to any wrestler out there, especially at the independent level. Most fans get anywhere from, a few seconds, if it's a bigger thing and they're kind of rushing people through, or if they're, you know, maybe a smaller independent show, you might get a few minutes if you're lucky. And now that person could be a huge fan of the wrestlers, and that wrestler has the power to really brighten their day and make that person an even bigger fan. Now, conversely, you can also drive them away. And even if that person is just kind of, let's say that fan's just kind of making the rounds, and maybe some wrestler X is his favorite, and you're wrestler Z, and he just happened to be bouncing around from table to table. He may not really care about you either way, but a good positive exchange can turn that person into a fan, even a lifelong fan. And don't think for a second, by the way, that fans don't talk to one another, because I could hear people talking kind of at different parts of the building about, oh man, Cody was a good guy, or Colt was a good guy. And I didn't hear anything at this show about a wrestler being a jerk or anything like that. But those few moments of just kindness are just good for word of mouth. And then there are fans who are shy about meeting a wrestler or a celebrity. Just, that maybe it's, especially if it's an intimidating wrestler they see on TV or whatever. And they just, they may not approach that person. Now, if that fan overhears another person talking about what a good experience it was, might be enough to make that shy fan work up the nerve to walk over and end up spending a few bucks on a picture or a t-shirt or autograph, whatever. I just think the merch table experience is such a huge part of an independent wrestler's work these days. And I hope that the men and women realize that it's about more than just being cool or looking down on the marks or trying to kind of make a quick buck and hustle them for everything you can. Cody clearly realized it, and I'm sure he made some lifelong fans on Saturday night because of it. And just to clear this up, if you're like, well, did he do it because you were standing? Number one, no one's going to take a moment to impress me. But I'd never met Cody before, so he had no idea what I looked like, as far as I know. And so I just wanted to, if just in case anyone is going to ask that question, no, I don't. He didn't do it for me, that's for sure. Now, before we get into Raw, I do want to point out that the members will be listening to the new Q&A audio show a little bit later today, and my audio review of Raw coming up after the show later tonight. The members are also going to be listening to .NET Weekly with Zach Zimmerman and I this week, and Zach will also, I assume, be doing the NXT TakeOver audio review. Either he or I or both of us will get together and cover that show. And then Jake Barnett and I will certainly be discussing WWE Survivor Series on Sunday night as well. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, then all you have to do is visit the main page, find the sign-up area. You'll see those three different pricing options. Pick the one that works best for you. And always remember, never forget, $750 will get you in the door for 1 month. But if you take that annual option, it brings the price down an average of $2 a month, bringing that average price to $5.50 for .NET membership. Great time to sign up with a really busy weekend. It's going to be a fun weekend. I'm looking forward to it. And I didn't even mention a fraction of the audio. That's not including all the member audio content that we put out there, including major television show reviews as well. Now, as for Raw, here's a few things I'm going to be looking forward to on tonight's WWE Raw. Number one, what do they do with Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg tonight? In the ring on the same show for the first time since all of this started here, and they brought Bill Goldberg back. Are they going to avoid physicality and let Paul Heyman do the bulk of the talking? And if they do, will that come off well? Not that I worry about Paul Heyman talking. Are the fans going to be left wanting more in a good way? Or is it going to be kind of like a disappointing segment where the fans didn't get anything they were looking for? Now, Lesnar was very confident in his sit-down interview last week as he talked about Goldberg coming back after 12 years and just what a joke it is that he thinks he's going to beat him. Was that a setup for Goldberg maybe getting the better of him in a brief pull-apart brawl? Or spearing him at some point and Brock really not being able to respond because that's when everybody kind of pulls him apart at that point. I'm not sure how they're going to approach it, but I'm genuinely curious to find out what they have in mind for the final hype for this match. And I'm obviously hopeful that whatever it is leaves people anxious to actually see the match, more so than they were coming into this go-home edition. That's obviously always the goal, and it's something that doesn't always occur on these go-home shows. Second, what will Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan be doing on this show? We know that they are doing the state of the WWE Universe debate, because that's what we need, another debate. That'll be airing on WWE Network after Raw tonight. So I guess my questions are, which one will Stephanie McMahon slap, and which one is Mick Foley going to yell at? Because that's kind of what the Raw Authority figures are known for. But I'm curious how much time they spend promoting Undertaker's return on SmackDown tomorrow. I wonder if that's among the top reasons that Shane and Daniel Bryan are there. They don't want to have raw talent do it. But if Shane and Daniel Bryan are there, then it's more natural and they can really play that up. Now, I actually think it's pretty silly that they haven't really hyped it as a big deal on Raw yet. I mean, I know they're supposed to be feuding brands and all, but like if Peyton Manning came out of retirement and returned to the Broncos tomorrow, it's not like Fox would just completely ignore it because they have the NFC broadcast package rather than the AFC. But now it's not the perfect comparison because Fox gets to broadcast some AFC teams along with that. But you know what I'm saying? It's a WWE thing. It's a big deal that Undertaker's coming back. Plus, they have the built-in excuse that Undertaker's a free agent as far as the draft is concerned. He went undrafted, which is still kind of baffling. I guess the idea was he injured? I remember they didn't draft injured people or something along those lines. But I mean, yeah, that could easily be a storyline reason, and that the broadcast team mentions it as a big deal and talks about how they'd love to get him over on the Raw side, something like that. I also want to see whether they introduce a Vince McMahon Cup. All right, not that kind, but just some sort of trophy, or it doesn't have to be named after Vince, but something that they're going to give to the winner of the Survivor Series elimination matches. Not each match, but a Raw and SmackDown type of thing. Do they go that? Didn't they do this once? I don't even really want to see it. I don't really care whether Raw or SmackDown wins the best of three, but I can't rule this out. Also, how are they going to fill the 2-hour Survivor Series kickoff show? Yes, Survivor Series is like a 6-hour event, people. 2 hours worth of kickoff show, 4 hours for the actual event. And I think we know the majority, if not all, of the Survivor Series card now. But they're going to need something on the kickoff show. Maybe some sort of a hook if they're really serious about trying to get people to watch this rather than football. I know which one I'll be watching a little more intently. I know it's my job, people, but it's the kickoff show. I'll be covering it, as I always brag, the world's worst kickoff show coverage during the football season. But once Survivor Series starts, I'll be glued to the television, so you don't have to worry about that. But I was just kind of thinking, like, because most of the wrestlers have matches, they don't have a whole lot left to work with on the kickoff show. They don't need much. Like Rusev, I don't think, is on a team. John Cena's not, but he's not expected to be back either. I think he's off filming his American Grit season 2. Big Show's not advertised. Kane's not advertised, I don't believe. And I think all but two of the cruiserweight wrestlers are available because there's only the title match for this show. So, I mean, there's some talent there, but is there anything that's really going to grab the attention of viewers and get them to watch this? I'm curious to see if they come up with something or if this is just going to be the most missable 2 hours of the ridiculously overly long WWE kickoff show. Hey, finally today, do you want to help us spread the word about this podcast and ProWrestling.net? Well, you should, damn it. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, rate and review us on iTunes, and when I put out the Twitter link via @ProWrestlingNet, take a quick moment, give it a retweet. You're helping. I appreciate it. I will be back tomorrow. Not sure the format yet. Stay tuned. But thank you very much for listening, and I will talk to you again real soon. Take care.